When I Speak Unto Thee, Michael Shillooly, FRC.
Taking a week of evenings to celebrate the spring equinox with our symposium entitled Spiritual Leadership is a marvelous way to orient our thoughts to the rhythms of life that we share with our planet. It is easy for us to forget that we live within her heartbeat and inside her protective atmosphere. We get caught up in our personal needs and responsibilities and forget to witness the astonishing wonder of life that surrounds us. During spring, if we will ourselves to listen, we can hear Mother Earth speak in her language with a renewal of life blossoming all around us. It is up to each of us individually to recognize the grandeur that life on this planet provides and feel and express gratitude for such a privilege and blessing. Indeed, we can take great lessons of spiritual leadership from the selflessness we see in nature. With this presentation entitled When I Speak Unto Thee, we hope to open our inner ears to those patterns of creation behind our objective conscious life. For that reason, there are no slides or music, just an opportunity to relax and listen for the knocks upon our spiritual door from the grand architect of the universe. There are times when you will be asked to close your eyes. You can close them or keep them open. You can keep them closed throughout this entire presentation if you wish, or leave them open. The key being that you follow your heart. Listen for those higher expressions of life and feel free to capture them in writing if you so desire. And now let's move upon a quiet. Somewhere back there, where our first thoughts began. Some were dismissed, others were penned. It is that pit of the forgotten where we fathom when and where. Upon that quiet sound where thoughts undressed are bare. In that holy resonance, a breath becomes aware, prompting our expression into our mystical fare. The light we see was sifted through the most divine of sands unto this mortal form and placed within our hands. Internal, eternal questions, they hide inside our dreams upon a furtive touch, expressing as we breathe. A floating fog of beauty surrounds this path we tread, knitted to our being, allured, we all are wed. Language can be very creative, and words can evoke many things within us. The language is a human creation. While many languages exist in our world, all of them came about as a tool that human beings created to express thoughts and ideas that appear in the mind, to give direction to others, and so forth. Indeed, there was a time in human history when language did not exist. So let's contemplate a couple of questions. What would have happened if language never came about? If out of the infinite universe of possibilities, we had found a different form of communication? What form would thought take if there were no words? Do you sometimes think without words? Think about this for just a moment. When we speak of leadership on a human level, we often think of someone besides ourselves making decisions, giving advice and direction, and guiding us and others towards a goal. When we say spiritual leadership, perhaps it brings to mind a priest, rabbi, pastor, or some other person whose life seems devoted to guide others in understanding our Creator. From a mystical perspective, we honor those who sincerely live their lives in such a manner. We recognize that others can and do inspire us towards greater thought, and through their instruction, they can help us to open up to various spiritual channels. We also recognize that spirituality is ultimately an inner journey, one in which we must heed an inner director and willingly follow that director. That is the mastery of self that we aspire towards. Others will inspire us in certain directions at certain times in our lives. Yet even when we are following the wise words of another, it is and must be our choice to do so. True spiritual leadership, therefore, must and can only arise from within. Ours is a journey of conscious evolution, wherein we learn to listen to an internal guide and guardian that breathes for us, that gave us life, that maintains our existence for us, and that stays with us throughout all of our days. Spoken in a different way, we always have with us a companion that keeps us breathing and alive, and that companion has been with us from our first breath and will be with us to our last. It is a truly compassionate, understanding, and unconditional loving guide that never leaves. We simply need to recognize her and learn to listen to her. Mystical teachings are inextricably tied to this journey of conscious evolution as we squint to hear the guiding hand of creation. Every symbol utilized in our work, whether written word or otherwise, is a reminder of the unfoldment of our soul personality journeying through this conscious realm. These symbols come in many forms. The title of this discourse, our beloved Rosy Cross, ritual and ceremony, the accoutrements of sacred spaces and where they are placed, and many others. These symbols create a wordless route for us to listen for their meaning, and this effort to listen guides us to that inner voice of the Master within. At the root of who and what we are is a pure desire, a dazzling splendor that pursues our journey with us, that there may be a conscious recognition of what it is. That splendor speaks and guides us, often without our knowing, though our mystic desire has guided us towards discovering it. In Rosicrucian-affiliated bodies, before some of our ceremonies, we tie an apron of service around our waist. We tie the cord of this apron in the form of an ankh, or everlasting life. In other words, we prepare ourselves for work and worship towards an understanding of the eternal life that we intuitively feel we are a part of. All human beings share this journey and share in the work of discovering that sweet mystery of life. We are symbolically bound together through work and worship, and we are bound together through a spiritual shared energy called the egregore in our work that we are constantly creating together through thought, word, and action. Indeed, there is an apron of knowledge, of work and worship that mystic workers like all of us have borne around our waist since the dawn of humankind. This symbolic apron is actually quite real, for it binds us together through our work. Knowledge that is sewn into its fabric makes its way to our conscious minds to remind us of our purpose to serve one another on this magical path. When this knowledge within all of us speaks unto us, its purpose is to shed our illusions gradually and guide us towards our greatest inspirations, our greatest peace, and our greatest love. Back to that which is lost, back to the roots of our emanation. Now, if you would, please close your eyes for a moment. Let us journey together towards that quiet void where calmness resides. In our minds, let's give voice now to that silent sweetness that breaks through our muddled ego and finds its way to our thoughts. Silent voice, she peaks randomly, voicing a secret residing in me. A question she forms without answering. She says, "Who are you really to hear me be?" My mortal thoughts chase now this flickering flame that etches upon my mind. I ask myself, before I came and after I leave, where was I during this life reprieve? My mortal mind answers loud and clear. This is a useless, pondering path to traverse. It leads nowhere upon this earth. Yet that sweet, silent tome comes again and again, and renews her nudge that never ends, that my inner ear I cannot close to that voice softly hidden in hallowed prose. True wisdom lies beyond our mortal thoughts and the illusions we have created in this mundane world. A mystic's task is to make our way through the minefields of life and recognize that no matter what is happening, our earthly incarnation is a privilege to experience and to be a part of. We are all working parts of an evolving consciousness to reconcile the real and the unreal within ourselves so that there is an ever greater conscious awakening and awareness of the pure beauty behind our creation. Such beauty remains invisible to the material naked eye. It is in this way that wisdom pierces the darkness, and we hear the sweetness of that still voice that never relents. While we say that much of our experiences on earth are illusions, we do not say that this life is not real or not important. This life we lead is an evolutionary reprieve in the journey of our soul personality. We know that our soul personality predates our current incarnation, and we know it survives beyond it as well. The experiences we might have when we are not incarnate as a human being on earth remains a mystery, though we have clues. We experience other forms of consciousness during our lives. We sleep and dream. We experience in-between states when falling asleep or awakening. We have premonitions, hunches, and deja vu. We experience sublimity through prayer and meditation. Some of us perhaps experience astral projection and so forth. These varying levels of consciousness and conscious experience occur as a natural element of being. For centuries, society as a whole looked at these experiences as strange, out of the ordinary occurrences, and aside from normal waking consciousness, casting them away and placing little importance upon them. Students of mysticism, however, recognize that all aspects of being are placed within us for guidance. We do not discard them, for this is the still, small voice that speaks. We recognize that the non-material is just as important, if not more so, than what is commonly called the real. These conscious levels are necessary for our evolution, even though they transcend objective experience. Our teachings affirm that we can transcend the physical through thought. Like all of our work, we must consider the levels of this proclamation. We are walking question marks. What thoughts are we speaking of? Do we have control over our thoughts? Where do our thoughts come from? All of us have random thoughts that make their way to us throughout the day. We have inquisitive thoughts, work and family related ones, and so forth. Many of the thoughts that pass through our minds are influenced by outside elements. The key is to discipline our thoughts and processes, which can lead to a discipline in our way of thinking. We can have control over our thoughts, and it requires that we listen from a place outside of our name personality. Over and over, we study that our real nature is invisible, eternal, and divine. We intuitively know this axiom to be true, yet we have difficulty living it. Start with thought. Your thoughts are your experience. They are your connection to the invisible, eternal Creator, a life companion that urges you to explore your consciousness. It is imperative that you develop your method for pure thought. When the voice of wisdom and truth speaks unto thee, are you ready to hear it? This voice comes to you as a form of thought, does it not? When we petition the cosmic for assistance, we never know from what direction the inspiration for assistance may come. It may come from words spoken by a friend. It may come from a scene in a movie. It may come directly to us as a thought. In any case, we must be ready to hear that inspiration, to process it, to transform it through thought into that which we need. To help develop our pure thought, remember that simple yet sacred axiom. Seek that which is and is not. Some of our thoughts are not our thoughts. Continue, dear friends, to examine your way of thinking. Open yourself up to that holy voice that is always there, ready to guide you upon every breath. When we are implored to seek that which is lost, recognize that we are lost through our objective illusions until we seek beyond them. There is a cosmic architect, a cosmic hand that scribes from above. Through our sincere prayers and meditations, it finds our longing, and we autonomically are guided by its loving wisdom. When we experience the beauty of an inspiring ceremony, whether it be a church service, a Rosicrucian convocation, or otherwise, it is scribed from above for you. When you witness such an event, you're unable to see all that went into its creation, the energy, history, intention, and effort behind it. Think about this. How might you write a ceremony that describes God's love for you? Would participants be able to see your intention if they were to witness your ceremony? Mystery schools such as the Rosicrucian Order AMORC brings the work of the masters to the fore on this physical plane through the moving symbolism of rituals and ceremony. We enjoy those precious moments of silence and ceremony, a time to roam the longings of our nature and to probe the boundaries of our hearts and minds. And in stillness, we listen. As our ceremonies unfold before us and the various officers float within our glance, we see a pureness conveyed through subtle, quiet, wordless discipline. Simple gestures such as holding a small solitary flame before them evoke a part of our inner nature outward. Such subtlety guides them towards revealing to all of us the light, life, and love of our Creator in our midst. Our teachings, our rituals, our beloved home sanctums compel those joyous yearnings that might otherwise remain hidden behind the bustle of worldly thought. When you step into a convocation or your home sanctum or any spiritual ceremony that you are guided to in life, what is that which you seek? You are seeking your inner church. Your inner soul is searching for an avenue to reveal itself to you. Your soul, perhaps unbeknownst to your conscious mind, nudged you into that ceremony. For there is a sacredness in mystical work, a tranquility that enfolds us and carries us to a different level of understanding, where the loud and the lurid are silenced and blessings may be recognized and received. If you haven't already, I would ask that you close your eyes once again, dear friends. What is your heart's desire? Go now into the depths of your being and ask your unseen self. Oh, my unseen self, will you come to me upon my pleas finding quiet rest? Will you come to me upon my moments of greatest duress? From your muted cues to my weary heart, I explore your unknown abyss. My bewildered throes do ponder your glimmers that beckon such bliss. Will you come to me when tears adorn my walls? Will you come to me as joy abounds my halls? Your touch brings inspiration, a glimpse of your subtle wares. Yet my desire's hold must relent as you slip through the grips of my prayers. Oh, my mysterious unseen self, animating all that I see, Upon my thoughts alone you appear, this magic of you through me. Fraters and sorors, dear friends, may you ever roam within those thoughts that dwell deep in your soul, that bring you pure contentment, so that you are prepared to hear and listen when the Master speaks unto thee. Wishing you all a most joyous spring and the sublimity of peace profound in your life. Thank you once again for sharing this evening with us, and I wish you all a good night.